The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on a hoodwinked Tuesday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Thanks so much for watching and supporting the show on Twitch. We've got Che, we got JR, we got you for a three-hour ride here. We will hear from Albert Breer coming up at 8:30, but Cap, can I just tell you something? I mean, I want to talk to you about the Bears, and one of my favorite Bears spoke yesterday, but can I just tell you, I mean, listen, I understand the pressures of the job. I understand, hey, we've got to be able to perform every morning between 7 and 10. Cap and J-Hood Nation's waiting to hear what we have to say. We can't wait to talk to our listeners and our callers today, but my God, man, if you're going to blaze up and smoke weed, do it at the house.
Excuse me?
Yes, the idea that I see you. I'm on the elevator this morning, and, you know, I don't expect to see you on the elevator, but, man, you get to...
Actually, the elevator doors open. I was on it, and you were waiting to get out.
Yeah, I didn't. But when I get to the elevator, I don't expect to see you. Actually, that smell that came out of the elevator
That wasn't me.
I don't appreciate that. I just want you to know, listen, I know there's pressure to the job, but the idea... that you're blazing up.
My God.
I got high just when the doors opened this morning.
Tell me about it.
Because of you.
No, that was not me.
Cap, listen.
I got out of my car, I got into the elevator, went, oh, God.
Well, Cap, listen, this is why God made vacations. If you're a little stressed, that's fine. But you blazing up before the show, don't know if that's the right idea. I don't think...
That was not me.
I don't think good karma wants that. All I know is that when the door is open, when I saw you this morning, hey, what's up? And you stumbling off the elevator.
No, there was no stumbling.
I thought that was a little bit odd.
There was no stumbling. I don't know who was in the elevator before me, but they were certainly enjoying themselves.
Now, I understand that you don't have the greatest sense of smell. I understand that.
Correct.
But enough. You had enough in that beak to know what was going on there with the with the ganja.
I don't have a great sense of smell.
Yes.
And even I could smell that somebody had been on that elevator. I told you the one morning, the doors open, and there's a sheet covering a body.
Yes.
Laying in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dead person here.
Hmm.
And then he stirred. Ah! I walked down several flights. Yes.
I just, Cap, if it's not you, okay. But I just know that that's the first smell I had when the doors open. Ta-da! Weed.
That was not me.
Okay. That's what. It's just an odd thing that happened.
Odd dynamic.
Well, I mean, with you. I mean, I didn't think that you were, you know, doing that around the office. All right. Nonetheless, the Chicago Bears will be taking on the Washington Commanders. As I told you in the meeting this morning, hey, man, Thursday night football trucks are already out. I drove past Soldier Field in the darkness. You could see the lights. The guy in the, come on back. Beep, beep. Right. Oh, God.
It's the big Amazon truck.
Here they come, Cap. Here they come. They're ready to set up. Thursday night football is emblazoned right on the side of the truck. Amazon Thursday night football. I said, hey, is Al in there? Al? Has he made it in yet? Is he driving the truck?
Herb Street, does he help? Maybe Bezos is out there. Hey, is that bald dude Jeff Bezos?
For the whole world to see on Amazon, the Chicago Bears. There he is. Come on back. Come on back. Here we go. Terrible football. Here we go. Come on back. Washington, Chicago.
You think Denver and the Colts was bad? Oh, just wait.
Come on, Bears. Put on a show, man. Put on a show, right? Man, Thursday night football, you had a bad game last Thursday. Put on a show. But we talk so much about the quarterback and Justin Fields, and we talk about leadership and when he's going to be good, when is the offense going to be good. Well, one of the things that I do know, Cap, watching the Bears, is the leadership that comes from David Montgomery. You know how much I love that guy.
Yeah, you do.
Now, no matter how much someone will devalue the running back position, all I know is that he's the heartbeat of the offense, running the football, as if we're having this
conversation.
He's not. Yeah, what do you mean?
He's not the heartbeat of the offense.
Yeah, who is it?
He wears number one.
Okay, well, that heart needs a transplant. It needs a little help. All I know is that the guy that's pumping his legs and getting yardage is David Montgomery. He's the guy. Now, there's going to be a time, hopefully this season, we'll say that Justin is, but all I know is that the guy that runs the ball with a reckless abandon, that feels like, hey, man, if I don't run the ball now, I may never run it again, he's that guy. The heartbeat of the offense. The lanes are open. Who gets the yardage? That guy.
Yeah, I would call him more like one of the spark plugs. Him, Mooney. Those are spark plugs. Justin is the heartbeat of the offense.
Okay. You going to put a sheet over Justin at some point? As bad as that offensive line is? Oh, God.
Yeah, I worry about it.
Well, so do I. So do I. I like that one, Montgomery. There it is. There's the
the Amazon people.
Seriously. I look at David Montgomery because when those that running lane's open, Cap, that guy's is a fabulous runner. Fabulous runner. I'm not saying that he's top five, top seven running back we've seen in a Bears uniform, but for this iteration of this offense, he's the guy. I like what he had to say yesterday, a number of things he mentioned.
He talked about the leadership of Justin.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how the offense has done some good things. They've had some moments that aren't so good, but he sees progress, and there's good things coming. I hope he's right.
The passing game is we're getting on the roll, so it can be really, really good. So to have that balance is good. It helps in the run game, and the run game helps the pass game. You know, it helps at all facets of the game. So you got to be able to do both. And we're trending up to getting better in both. Yesterday we got to do better running, like I said. But you know, Justin he's doing an incredible job being a leader, but being a quarterback and just picking this thing up. You know, he's getting really good.
Leader, he said.
He did.
In that 30 seconds we just heard, he talked about leader. That's the thing that resonates with me the most. It is important, Cap, in this season of transition, trying to figure out who can play and who can't, that you have someone that will stand tall and say, yeah, I'm getting my brains beaten out, or maybe we fall short, but I know that I'm going to have to be the guy to lead this team for now and the future. That's important for a young player, isn't it?
It's important. To a degree, it can't just be about that. It's got to be about production on the field, too. Tough to be a leader if you're not producing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're not producing because you got no chance. Because you're running for your life. Your receivers have no separation. Guys are banged up. There could be a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the leadership part is where it all starts. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Because he's the guy with the ball in his hands a lion's share of the time. So I would expect the leadership to come from number one.
So do you, after hearing, and we'll play Coach Eberflus mm-hmm. talking about him, the Flus gave his thoughts. You mentioned David Montgomery. Other guys have said very complimentary things about Justin Fields. Do you believe this regime, who didn't draft him,
mm-hmm.
are all in, that's our guy? Because I do. I believe deep down, that's our guy.
Well, there's two ways to look at this. One is you believe in Justin Fields, mm-hmm. even though this is not the person you drafted. You believe in him. You do everything you can to get him protection and weapons for him to flourish and for the offense to flourish. Or you do it the Colts way and say, we're evaluating him for this year. If he's not going to be the guy, then we're going to bring in a veteran quarterback that can get us closer. The Colts' way in the last few years is just getting veterans with skins on the wall. It hasn't worked out too well for Chris Ballard. It's a good effort because you're trying. But I just believe that in this league, if you can find a young quarterback and that guy can be able to make a difference for your team, you're keeping them there for a decade. It's so important, this position, Cap. You could either go the veteran route or stick with Justin Fields. Now, for those that look at Fields today and say, well, what we see today is who he is, that means that you're not watching the league or not watching how a quarterback can learn on the fly, learn while he's the quarterback of a team. And then while that's going on, now here comes a wide receiver. Now comes a tight end. Now you're getting better with your offensive line. It's all about development. Not all at once, but over some time, Justin can be the guy with the proper weapons around him.
And how quickly can you get said weapons? Because they've got $110 million approximately for next year in cap space.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're going to have a higher pick than others believe. I think you're with me that it'll be a very high pick. I think it's higher than even you think.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not going to be every single thing you need in free agency. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So how long is the process of bringing in said talent to protect him and to give him options to throw to?
You know, the process of trying to find offensive weapons would be sooner if the defense was doing their job.
Right. The defense isn't playing very well either. They were better in the second half.
Yeah. Now, I know it's not sexy to be able to just lay out some defensive issues with the Bears because all the conversation is predicated on the quarterback and the offense. But if the Bears were the traditional Bears in which you had all pros or difference makers defensively, then you'd say, in free agency, I'll give someone from the scrap heap here, scrap heap there, and really focus on offense, really focus on the offensive line and weapons. It's almost like the money has to be allocated on both sides of the football as equally as possible, Cap. I am dismayed that you can't find a Bears lineman to get home to the quarterback. That better not be the case on Thursday. You can't get home. Alex Brown talked to us about it yesterday. And so you got one rush from Robert Quinn that we saw in the game on Sunday where he got close to Cousins.
He was the lowest graded defender on Pro Football Focus.
And
dead last.
And Gibson.
On our team.
And Gibson did a nice job. He was trying to get to the quarterback.
Correct. Dominique Robinson blocked the field goal and was pressuring.
But, man, if I knew that the Bears had enough weapons defensively, then I'm saying, hey, get yourself that wide receiver. Get yourself that a couple offensive linemen, draft and free agency. But I'm concerned about the other side of the football, too. I mean, you can't – Brisker and Gordon are going to grow in the position. I don't know what they're going to be ultimately. I have no idea. But it's important for you to be able to have a semblance of defense. If you're all about takeaways and you got a defensive coordinator as a head coach in Eberflus, you better be solid defensively. That's your expertise.
But if you don't have the talent to be solid – it doesn't matter how brilliant a strategist you are.
Yes.
And that's the problem. Yeah. And that's why they haven't paid Roquan.
That's right.
Nice player. $20 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not so quick.
When we talk about the Bears picking a lane for this season, Roquan's part of that lane.
Correct.
Of deciding, is he part of our future or not? Now, listen, I'm biased. I love Roquan Smith. I watched every snap of him at Georgia.
Would you love him as much if he was Roquan Smith from the University of Texas?
He's a Bear, so yes, but not as much as a Georgia player.
Right.
Yeah, because I invested time. I watched Texas, but not as much as I watched Georgia every week.
Well, Georgia's your team.
Yeah. So it's interesting that we look at the present and the future of the Bears. So Cap and I want to ask you this question. And, Shay, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Again, we got Hoodwink coming up, an opportunity for you to win a Lou Malady's gift card coming up at 735. But do you believe the Bears, the organization, the team, is all in on Justin Fields? That's the question that we have. Based on what we've talked about here, based on what you've seen, do you believe the Bears, the organization, is all in on Justin Fields?
And you'll hear from Matt Eberflus talking about Justin and the offense. I think it might sway your opinion.
So we'll hear from Eberflus and take your phone calls coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Do you believe that the Bears are all in on Justin Fields, the organization, the coaching staff? What do you think? 312-332-3776 is our telephone number on Cap and Jay Hood. Still to come, hoodwinked, an opportunity for you in a Lou Malnati's gift card. Have you ever had Lou Malnati's? It is the best.
Freaking delicious.
It is the best. So we want to hook you up with that coming up at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000. Some thoughts from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears, as the Bears get ready to take on Washington. He had a number of things to talk about regarding the coaches and the coaching staff being more comfortable throwing.
Yeah, you definitely want to have that. You want to have balance, but you also want to take what the defense gives you. And if they give you the no cover zone throws and they're playing a lot of zone, you know, 0-5, and you're going to give you those, that's fine. If they're giving you the second level throw because there's some holes and gaps in the second level, certainly take those. And you know, if they're playing a lot of man, you got to adjust and change and how you play your route. So it's important to have all those weapons in your offense, and we're growing in that way, and we're starting to see the benefit of that. Yeah, I just think it's growing. You know, the guys are growing. I think the players are getting used to the scheme. The timing's getting better. The rhythm's getting better. I thought that yesterday the protection was good, and the protection's been good, you know, at times, and it was better yesterday. And the guys are just getting used to it. You know, you can feel Justin, you know, comfortable where he is right now in the offense. He's taking command. I can see him in practice, and I've seen it the last couple weeks, him taking control of, you know, route depths and talking to receivers. Hey, I want you to run it this way, you know, run it that way. Have, you know, whatever the detail is, he's right there on top of it. And he's been growing that way, and that's been really good.
And it works for me.
That's what that second cut you played, mm-hmm. I loved.
What about the first one? First one, no good?
It was fine.
Okay.
The second one was what I was talking about in our meeting.
I see.
Where command and just guys getting it and him understanding route concepts going, Jonathan, I need you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it reminds, I'm not comparing him. Please don't run off and think I'm comparing. But the story that I was told about Tom Brady at practice, stopping practice and saying to Gronkowski, no, I need you to run the route this way. Not breaking it off a foot short this way, and the ball will be where you're supposed to be. And Justin's getting comfortable in leading like that. Again, I didn't compare them. I'm just using an example.
Thank you for those guardrails, by the way, because you know someone will aggregate that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see this on Twitter. People quote you directly.
Correct.
Or indirectly.
Correct.
So I'm glad you said that. Cap says he's Brady. Oh, God.
Right.
Like, that's not what the man just said. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
My boys, Bleck and Abdallah, well, who we got to sit with at the Few Spirits event last week. Yeah, they'll have it, whether it's me calling Quintana elite, never did, or me comparing Justin to Brady, never did.
Now, that's outside the building, too, on Twitter. You have your fans that quote, tweet everything you say. They quote everything. You do know this, right?
Correct.
Shout out, Dan. 312-332-3776 is our phone. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to you as far as how you think the Bears feel about Justin Fields. Is he the guy? What do you think? How do you feel in your gut regarding Justin Fields and how he's perceived at Halas Hall? Let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. Caleb is on the north side with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Caleb.
What's up, Caleb?
Yo, what's up, guys? How y'all feeling this morning, man?
Feeling lovely, man. What about you?
I'm feeling good. Just got off work. Going to go home, make breakfast. It's a beautiful day. But I'm just jump right into it, man. I believe now, man. I didn't believe it for about 16, 15 quarters. But that last half that they played this week, you know, up until that, you know, that strip, whatever that was at the end, I was feeling Justin Fields. He was breaking out. He didn't look scared. He was stepping up in the pocket. Last week, he had Miss Mooney on a big route deep. It looked like he had his eyes upfield into the very last second, millisecond. And I believe in him. I don't think he's going anywhere. There's like, you know, at this point, what do we want? A mobile quarterback that can throw? There's no need to go backtrack to get a Justin Fields, you know? So I think we should roll what we got. stack up, go get a T.J. Edwards guy from Philadelphia, undrafted linebacker. You know what I'm saying? Like small, you know, small money, big play guy. And let's make it happen. That's what I think we should do.
All right, my friend, we appreciate the telephone call. Now, you see, Caleb leaves line open. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. In Wrigleyville, here's Ryan on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, so here's the deal with Fields. You think about the best QBs in the league. You think about Lamar Jackson. You think about Josh Allen. You think about Patrick Mahomes. All of them have got that, you know, X factor, escapability factor. And Fields has got that. You don't want to give that up. You know, Kyler Murray's got the same thing. But this whole year for Fields is about read and reaction. Can he read and react quick enough at the NFL level? And if he can, it's going to be a big problem for the Bears. But, you know, that's what they're going to have to figure out this year and maybe into next. And even if it's not Fields, ultimately, they need to get weapons for whomever it is going to be. Wide receiver, offensive line. Say you bring somebody in, but you roll out the same offensive crew, he's not going to have any success either. So I was watching a little bit of tape. I was watching the kid out of USC, Caleb Williams. He looks super sharp. He kind of reminded me of Donovan McNabb, like a young Donovan McNabb. But if you don't surround him with any protection or any playmakers, he's going to be no better than Fields. So you really got to invest in the wide receivers, the offensive line, maybe hit the trade market now that Carolina just axed their head coach. Can you get DJ Moore for a couple draft picks? I really think we got to, you know, start making moves now for next year.
Let's address that last part, and we appreciate it. So, Shay, we saw this online about DJ Moore. As soon as Matt Rhule, the former coach for Carolina, was let go, there was rumors about DJ Moore or maybe Carolina disassembling their team. What's the possibility of DJ Moore?
Well, I have a question about it in shot or no shot, so we'll get to that in a moment. But if you listen to what's going on with the Panthers, they are open for business. They have effectively put the sign out on the front of their building, come shopping. Yeah. I mean, if you believe what you heard yesterday, and they very quickly refuted it, but you always have to kind of read through the smoke signals when it comes to NFL news, the Bills were on the phone about Christian McCaffrey moments after Matt Rhule was shown the door.
What would he cost, Shay?
Oh God, I don't even know. It would be first round picks. It would have to be
a running back.
But he does so much more, Cap.
But he gets hurt
catches
all the
ball.
Well,
dude, he's an incredibly effective player. If he's healthy, he might be the best offensive weapon in the NFL.
I can't believe it'd be multiple firsts.
And if he's healthy and you send him to Buffalo, it would be a first, I would imagine. You're handing them virtually a ticket to the Super Bowl. If they have all of their offensive weapons in the receiving group and Christian McCaffrey out of that backfield, he's got to be expensive. He might be the best offensive weapon in football when he's healthy.
Now, DJ Moore is going to cost you next year $20 million, and then it drops to $16 million and then to $15 million. And I believe all of that is guaranteed through 2025. He's only 25 years of age.
Now, keep in mind, once again, the Bears have picked a lane. But you can't help but to think that the Bears threw 19% of their passes to Darnell Mooney in the game against Minnesota. And besides Mooney, Bears wide receivers were responsible for 48 yards receiving, one touchdown, and the game-clinching fumble. It's so appetizing, Cap, to look at the wide receiver core that could be available and you say, man, if Justin was able to throw to someone else besides Marceau Marcette, that's the problem.
Smith Marcette.
What's the name?
Smith Marcette.
That's what I said, isn't it?
You said Marcel Marceau.
So, Captain,
never seen him at the theater.
In March 2022, I have the Panthers listening to trade offers on McCaffrey. At that time, they were asking for a first-round pick and a player without a big salary cap number.
Don't shake your head, JR. What's the matter?
Not enough mime references on this show.
They wanted a one Shay and a player without a big cap number.
Correct.
Okay, I'll give him Khalil Herbert.
Okay, all right.
And a two.
Okay, there you go. There you go, Cap. There you go. But I'm concerned, though, Cap, that for this team, as much as I would love balance, and I love a team with balance, I think that you could say Kansas City is one of those teams with balance, offense and defense. When I look at Robert Quinn's numbers, when he goes from 6.5 sacks in 2018 to 11.5 sacks in 2019 to only 2 in 2020, to 18.5 sacks last year.
To 1 this year.
Oh, 1. God. The trend is your friend, isn't it? It's
up and down. The trend is your friend, Carm.
So this is supposed to be up and down, right? So this is supposed to be the down year. That's not good enough. I'm very concerned about that. Yeah. I love that they have some ball hawks there where Eddie Jackson seems like he's back. And then we watch the development of Gordon Brisker. But, I mean, who's going to get home? Where is the threat of getting to the quarterback? Even when the ball gets out quickly from Minnesota. Cousins was perfect in the first quarter and a half. But I know the ball gets out quickly, but there was just no rush at all.
None.
We were on roller skates the entire time, seemingly, until the second half it got better.
One sack for the game, Justin Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That is one huge area of weakness. Like, I'm watching the game last night. Shay and I were on the same side, were we not? We were both...
Raiders and over.
What line did you get the Raiders at?
7.5.
Same here. So, we're watching the game. Bilal Nichols is a good freaking player, man.
No bleep. You know that.
Why is he not here?
You know Bilal Nichols is a good player, but that's the lane. Was that not the lane that
Bears
chose?
But he doesn't make that much money.
It's the lane that they chose.
Okay, so is the lane that you're telling me they chose, we want to lose as many games as we can? I'm talking for Ryan Pohl's seat, not Matt Eberflus's. Is that what he truly wants? Because what is Bilal Nichols making?
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Like, I get to picking the lane on Mac. You're going to take all the money. I'll take a second and a six. You can have this guy who might be
right.
The defensive player of the year. Okay? If he's healthy.
Yeah.
Bilal Nichols?
Yeah.
He's not old.
No, I understand that.
How old is that guy?
But that's not the point, though. What have you been saying? Don't go back on your original point.
No.
Your original point is they picked the lane. Okay. And so they looked at the roster and go, you know what? He can go too. Bilal Nichols, some we saw on film.
He's 26.
I get it. You and I both know he's a good football player.
Yes.
But it's the lane they chose. We took calls yesterday. It's like, why would you get rid of Allen Robinson or Khalil Mack? Because they want to go in a different direction.
Correct.
So your original thought was, are you trying to be as bad as possible to get a high draft pick? F yeah, you are. Yeah.
That has been what we've been preaching, and people have been calling in. There's more talent there than you realize. Really? That's the worst wide receiver room in the National Football League, and it ain't close.
Well, you answered your own question. When you see Bilal Nichols,
he signed for 2 years at $8.6 million. That's nothing.
Off the books.
Get out.
Hey, man.
That guy's pretty decent. Get him out.
Hey, man. Hey, you clear the cap space top, bottom, middle. Absolutely.
Wow.
I know. You and I and you know what? Our listeners know that Bilal Nichols is a good football player. In your next generation of the Bears under Eberflus? Nah.
Get him out last too. Against the run. That guy could help.
Sure. Coming up, we will play Hoodwink. We'll take caller 4, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. We will play Hoodwink. Plus, has the NFL taken protecting the quarterback way too far? We'll get into that in this half hour as well on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Come on.
Cap J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. All right, Cap and J-Hood listeners, who's ready for a story? Sit back and relax as Jonathan Hood regales you with tales of frivolity. Did it really happen?
We have been hoodwinked.
Who knows?
Bamboozled, led astray.
Who cares? Be prepared to be
run amok and flat out deceived.
Hoodwinked.
We don't get fooled again.
Captain J. Hood, mornings 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. It's time for Hoodwinked. We do it every Tuesday at 7:35. Brought to you by Lou Malnati's, an opportunity, Cap, for one of our listeners to get himself some delicious Lou Malnati's.
I actually had some delicious Lou Malnati's the other night. I've been so locked in on soda, and we went out after we saw the B-52s, went out with my friend Greg Saran, the guitarist there, and we said, let's go get pizza. Bam! It was delicious.
Which location?
We went to the Wrigley Building right over here.
Wrigley Building, okay.
Oh, it was delicious.
I'm a Shorewood Homewood guy.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and forth to the south side, maybe a little Oak Lawn. A little bit of that. So I like to be able to go to these establishments. I'm starting to know the people very well.
There you go. Oh, Mr. Hood's here.
Where everybody knows your name.
That's it.
So Lou Malnati's. So we want you to be able to get yourself a gift card to Lou Malnati's. Our contestant for a hoodwinked is Ben from Vernon Hills. Hello, Ben.
What's up, Ben?
Hello. Good morning.
Hello. You ever had Lou Malnati's, Ben?
Oh, yes. Plenty of times.
Well, let me see. We're going to see if we can hook you up. Now, hoodwinked is pretty simple, Cap. I have two truths and something that might be hoodwinking our friend Ben. So I want you to help Ben to decide which story is true.
I'm pretty good at this.
Okay.
I'll help you.
Yeah, of course. Of course, Ben. Again, Ben, you have your own mind, too. If you need Cap, he's here for you, okay?
All right.
Jonathan has a tendency to repeat himself. Like, he tells stories around the office. Doesn't realize I have a memory like a Venus flytrap.
Okay. Okay. All those things are not true. And he's talking about himself in that regard.
Thank you.
And I'm Venus flytrap on this show.
Or tell you about Dirk Nowitzki.
Never mind. All right, Ben, here we go.
All right.
This category for Hoodwinked is interactions with an athlete. Interactions with an athlete. Here we go. Did I do shots with the late former Cubs pitcher Kevin Foster? Did I have dinner with Doug Glanville? Did I have a handshake and a great conversation with Hall of Famer Jeff Bagwell outside of Wrigley Field?
Wow.
Two truths and one thing did not happen. What's the thing that didn't happen? Where am I hoodwinking you on these stories?
I'm going to say he did not do shots with Kevin Foster. Late Kevin Foster. Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would agree with you.
Now, why would you agree? Because he said it, Ben. You didn't even give it any thought. You just, yes, Cap, you're right. Come on, Ben. You're better than that.
No, I just think it's because it's specific.
Dinner with Doug Glanville, not specific.
Well, I mean, I think that could happen.
Yeah, see, Doug is very, very affable.
Mm-hmm.
Doug is a big fan. I don't even know if he knows this, Jonathan, that Doug is a big fan of Jonathan's.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think Hoodie's talking about doing shots with the late Kevin Foster. And the third one was what?
Interaction with Jeff Bagwell outside of Wrigley Field.
Absolutely possible. Jeff Bagwell is exceptionally affable. Yes.
So, Ben, which one are you going with?
I'm going with the shot.
Didn't think I did shots with the late Kevin Foster.
Did not.
Well, not now, obviously, because he's dead.
Correct.
I'm talking about when he was alive in 96 with the Cubs.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
Okay. Ben, you locking that in?
Yes.
Okay. Ben? That is correct. Did not do shots with Kevin Foster. What station just hooked you up with Lou Malnati's?
ESPN 1000.
All right, hang on a second. We'll get your vitals.
There you go. Enjoy.
The Jeff Bagwell thing was interesting because my dad always told me, my late father said, look, you're gonna shake a man's hand. You get in there and you shake
his
hand.
That's what my dad said.
You get in there.
Yes.
He had a little practice, too.
He hated the wet noodle.
Oh, my God.
How you doing?
Oh, my God.
My dad, shake hands like a man.
It was a term for that we can't use here.
Yes, correct.
But yes. It's a term we cannot use here. But
we like doing our show.
He goes, he said, shake my hand. I didn't know. I'm a kid. Here you go. Put the little hand out. Put the little paw out there. The little paw.
Pawing.
Put the paw. No. Hold your hands out like this. You know, to your side. Bam! Step in there with the handshake. Oh, God!
Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I did that with Jeff Bagwell early in my career. And I had no idea that Jeff Bagwell was coming off the DL for a wrist injury. So I came in there strong, right outside Wrigley. Jeff, I'm Jonathan Hood. How are you, pal? Bam! And he winced like, oh! I said, I'm sorry. It's just a wrist. He didn't play the next day.
Cubs won.
That's a true story. That's true. Because I didn't know, Cap. I'm just like everybody else. Hey, pal, how's it going, right?
Dad, Jonathan.
Yes,
son, what's up? Bet the Astros in Cubs game tomorrow. Play the Cubs. Bagwell's out. Thanks for the handshake advice.
I'm not saying like I'm this macho man, Cap. I'm just saying that you shake another man's hand like a man. bam, exactly. Step right in there.
Exactly.
Strong.
That's it.
But I did it to Jeff Bagwell, and he was coming off the DL. He gets hit in the wrist. He had some bone issues in there. And he winced like, oh, geez. I said, oh, I'm sorry, man. Didn't play the next day.
I love it.
So that is a true story.
So good.
Met Kevin Foster, did not have shots with Kevin Foster. Still a young guy. This is 95, 96 after the strike, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have shots with him. Doug Glanville, very affable. My friend.
Yes, he's awesome.
I got to talk to you about this soft NFL that you watch every week.
Oh, my God.
Brother, we have to talk about this. You want to know why I'm a college football fan? I'll talk about it coming up next right here on Cap and J-Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Carr is hit from behind. And the ball is taken away by Jones. A flag comes out on the play.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on Monday Night Football as the Chiefs defeat the Raiders 30-29. Terrific ball game with the ebb and flow there on Monday Night Football as we talk about this on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, shot or no shot at 8 o'clock. And we go around the National Football League at 8:18 right here on Chicago's home for sports. Cap, that play. Chris Jones makes a sack that we have seen for years, for decades. And there's a penalty on that play? I mean, Troy Aikman had it right.
My hope is the competition committee looks at this in the next set of meetings and, you know, we take the dresses off.
Okay. By the way, that's a fine.
Cap.
You can't say that. You cannot say that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know me. I push the envelope as much as anybody.
Yes.
And I laughed, and my wife is sitting there watching the game with me.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, what did he just say?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he said this. And she said, you can't say that. I said, are you offended? She's like, absolutely not. She said, I think it's funny. I have no problem that he said it whatsoever. But there are going to be people in this woke world we live in that are not going to like it.
Well, I would say in the world in which there is more women empowerment than ever, I think that that's fair for women to speak up if they are offended by it.
Absolutely, speak up. Again, my wife was not offended. She was entertained by the comment, as was I.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, go on social media. There's all these people firing on him.
I get it.
Am I wrong? He did not apologize, right?
No. A lot of people are coming to his defense, too, saying, oh, he just meant that NFL players don't wear dresses, which certainly is not what he meant.
But
No, I agree. He could have phrased it better. I also think the broader point is correct.
The broader point, you are accurate, is correct.
That there is a problem in this league. Do you know why I'm a college football fan more times than not? Is because the National Football League is over-officiating what happened with Tua Tagovailoa, meaning that the reaction from those that saw that game in which we feel that Tua was concussed not once but twice within a week, and now the NFL is cracking down on just regular sacks, regular plays, Cap. This is egregious, what we saw last night. What happened with Tom Brady when he got sacked? That was not roughing the passer at all either. You cannot overcompensate. And can I just tell you what the NFL is doing? The NFL, with guys like Chris Jones and others, they are fat shaming. That's what they're doing, Cap. They're fat shaming. You're a big guy, 320-something pounds. What, you're supposed to be able to just fly off of a guy and just say, oh, you know what, I can't land on him because I've got to move to the left or move to the right and make sure when I get the sack, sack him and then just let him go. You're a big guy. The weight's going down on the guy, on the quarterback. This is ridiculous.
Yes.
This league.
I completely agree. There was a sack of Mahomes, and the crowd didn't like it, where he was flung down.
Sack.
And there were people screaming that should be a penalty. You throw him to the ground. No. You try to get another man to the ground in any – I've heard Yurko say it. You get him down however you get him down.
Right.
Get him on the ground. I thought that was one of the most egregious calls. But Carl Cheffers, who's a veteran official and highly graded, he gets playoff games. Carl Cheffers issued a statement last night after the game and said, I simply followed the rule. The rule is you cannot land on him with your full body weight. Now, Dan Graziano was on KJM this morning. He said, you can tell me you don't like the rule, and I don't disagree. But by the letter of the law, the way he called it, Carl Cheffers was right.
Okay, great. They could both stick it. And here's why they could both stick it. The idea that a big guy like that grabs a quarterback, if I grab you, Cap, and take you to the ground, if I land on you, look, I'm trying to keep you down because you're the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to hurt you, but I can't help from gravity because I'm a big guy that I'm not only going to grab you, but I'm going to take you to the ground. How is that roughing the passer? You back me up on this, Shay. When do you see this on Saturdays? Never see this on Saturdays.
Here's the other thing. I'm reading
question.
You are correct, but I'm reading the body weight rule as written too, and it specifically says during or just after throwing a pass in a defenseless posture. He fumbled the ball. He was not a passer. They did not call that right.
Okay, so wait. Carl Cheffers also addressed that, Shay.
Why are you backing the ref?
I'm not backing him. What? I'm telling you what he said. What? I'm doing my job.
Sorry.
He said that the possession of the football is irrelevant. The way they have been told to call that play, just because he ripped the ball out of his hands, has zero to do with the penalty.
Chris Jones, the person that got the ball, he did everything I thought right, but now he had a sack, a strip, and a recovery. And Chris Jones got a penalty thrown on him, said this about how this should be looked up in a booth.
From the ref point of view, he probably looked like that initially. But, you know, and when you look at the replay, it's a whole different thing. So I think now to evolve roughing the passer and protecting the quarterback is essentially what we're doing in this league. We got to be able to look at roughing the passers in the booth.
There's no need for an explanation, okay? So what I'm going to go to him and say, how should I tackle? How should I not roll on him? I'm trying my best. I'm 325 pounds, okay? What do you want me to do? I'm running full speed trying to get the quarterback. I hit the ball. What you want me to do? I brace my hands. So I think it's like taking the initiative to extend to look at roughing the passers now as a league. You know, like they did pass interference a couple years back, where we can view the pass interference. I think that's now the next level we're going to have to take as a league for all these roughing the passers.
The soft-ass league that you watch every Sunday, it's ridiculous. When Goodell got in, I understood the initiative. Try to protect the quarterback. Make sure that you're not knocking him out. But it makes it seem like you can't touch the quarterback. Is this flag football or is this the National Football League? This is ridiculous. And say what you told me, Shay, about how college football is different from the NFL in that regard.
Well, I was going to bring up, because a lot of people bring up college football as targeting and that you can't hit anybody near the head anymore. They even changed that rule to now you can basically hit anybody anywhere as long as you don't aim the crown of your helmet at somebody. So even college football has cleaned up their rules. You got to remember the body weight rule in the NFL exists because Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. Like, enough. Let's rewrite this or just get rid of it. It's not being used properly, in my opinion.
Cap, there is nothing in the letter of the law to defend a defensive back or defensive lineman or even running backs on the offensive side. You know, running backs, you can take them and you can jostle them. You can take them down. No one says it's hard on them. You're just trying to protect one position. And that's just unfortunate. That's not football. You cannot take the athleticism out of football, period.
I don't disagree, except when a quarterback is throwing, he's in a defenseless position. When a running back cradles the football with both hands to protect it from being punched out, he is not in a defenseless position. He's able to protect himself fairly well.
Soft, this league.
I don't disagree. That was an awful call in terms of the rule. I don't like the rule.
I understand the protection because of concussions. You don't want to have guys concussed, but it's still a physical game, Cap. It's a physical game. And if a big guy like Jones falls on Mahomes or falls on Derek Carr, I mean, he's not trying to hurt him. He's trying to take him down. And then he doesn't get the recovery, doesn't get the sack, gets nothing. So ridiculous. Shot or no shot, 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.